We've been talking about order in the kingdom for a couple, 3 weeks, I think. So we're going off there. But there was one thing that came up in several verses, and it talked about the hardness of your heart and don't harden your heart. And what does that mean to you, hardness of heart? Anybody got a hardness? Anybody? Resist? To harden? I just want to read to you hardness. And I will not get this Greek word right. This guy, Tim, was just spilling them out the other night, and they sounded completely right. So, skelocardia. I thought, cardia, I know that's like cardiac, heart, I guess, related. But it means hardness, hard-heartedness, destitution of spiritual perception. Destitute of all spiritual perception. And harden means to petrify, to turn to stone, to render stupid or callous. Blind, hardened, to cover with a thick skin, to harden by covering with a callous, to make the heart dull, growing dull, heart dull, to grow hard, lose the power of understanding. And as we were, when y'all were praying earlier for, sometimes we don't engage ourselves because I think really in our heart we don't expect God to show up. And I'm not speaking that to anyone, but it's like, well, it's kind of like going to a casino or something and grabbing a couple of dice and maybe I'll hit, maybe God will be in a good mood today, maybe God will heal today. But you got to remember what the Word of God says. You can't mix your feelings with the truth. And that's the problem. Lots of times we take our past experiences and we say, this is God. This is how God operates. And that's not true. Of course, God has a free will. Of course, God does what He wants to do. But He gives us Scripture because Scripture is powerful and mighty and sharper than a two-edged sword. We got to stand on the Word of God, even if everything looks like it's going the other way, don't we? I know I'm not telling y'all nothing. I'm just saying we have hardened our hearts sometimes to the things of God. We've hardened it. You ever notice, ever seen somebody's been rejected or their spouse has, you know, rejected them, or they've been hurt by a lot of people. They've been hurt by men, or they've been hurt by women. Have you ever noticed that sometimes these people will put up this wall? Have you ever met anybody that won't let you pass just the superficial? Maybe you've been like that. When you get hurt, that's a natural reaction. But with God, you've got to realize that God, people will hurt you, right? That's true. People will disappoint you. You can't depend on people most of the time. But God is different. God will never hurt you. God will never let you down. God will never allow anything to happen to you unless you're planting seeds and you're sowing seeds that are going to cause this to happen, because a lot of the things that happen in our life is, most of the bad things that happened in my life were because Mark chose to do this. Mark made a, they say bad choice now, but I say Mark decided to sin. You know, choice, that makes it so easy and fluffy. Sin. I chose to drink alcohol to excess. I chose to do drugs. I chose to look at pornography. I chose to fornicate. I chose to do this. I chose to do that. It was a choice. Mark was a sinner and a good one. He did his best to sin. You can't blame it on anything but yourself. Is that true? Now, some of y'all had a rougher time growing up than others. I had Leave It to Beaver, so it was my fault. Ward and June took good care of me. And I still turned out to be a rotten kid, so it wasn't like they didn't do what they were supposed to do. Can't say, it was Mary Avery's fault. It was Nolan Avery's fault. No, it was Mark Avery's fault. And you got to come to that revelation before you can get free. You got to come to that revelation before you can get free and know that you are the only one that can. You can't fix it, but you are the only one that can surrender it to God and say, I am sorry, I repent, I lay it down, and I, by faith, I know you forgive me. And that's where it all starts, right? Starts. The problem is a lot of people think that's where it starts and stops. I'm a Christian now. No, man, it's a journey, isn't it? It's a good journey. It's a land flowing with milk and honey, praise God. So I'm going to make a statement. This is one verse that we have thrown around, and I love this verse. But if we really believe it, it would revolutionize our walk with the Lord. And I just wrote down, if you don't believe that you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you, then you have hardened your hearts against the truth. If you don't believe that you can do anything that God asks you to do, anything, and survey your life, man, you survey your life. It's not my job to survey your life, but you look back 20 years ago, 30 years ago, 10 years ago, 5 years ago, was I softer? Was I more likely to pray for something and believe it? Was I more likely to witness to somebody? Was I more likely to be like Jesus? You could say, well, you know, it fades away. Well, only if we allow our hearts to be hardened. Because it said the latter temple should be greater than the former. So the end of our Christian life should be raw more than it was when we were new believers. Man, love new believers, Justin. I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it. And if you took that and mixed it with wisdom, not that you don't have wisdom, but you gain wisdom. But wisdom shouldn't negate passion. And that's what it does. We think it's got to be this way or this way. It's got to be wisdom. It's got to be discernment. It's got to be order. Or it's got to be zeal and passion. And oh, they'll grow out of it. Bless God, they'll grow out of it. And that's a problem, you know. Who was I had a pastor early on? Reverend Mode Powell, Methodist pastor, awesome man of God, a praying man of God. I watched him in board meetings get tore apart, and he just smiled, and he wasn't mad. He's like, well, okay, whatever. And he did nothing wrong, just like Jesus. He had done nothing wrong. But I watched his life, and his life was, he lived a full life for Jesus, you know. And I watched what he did, and I watched what he said, and I grew a lot from that. And I watched him, and I thought, no, you don't have to. You don't have to grow sour and mechanical and like a robot. You don't have to do that. God wants you to be free. God has given every one of y'all gifts. And he wants you to use them. He wants you to use them. And up here, this is the least. This is the very least. Hopefully I can teach you something. Hopefully I can teach you something. I probably can't tell you a whole lot you don't know, but maybe I can stir the Spirit of God in you to operate in it, you know? Because most of y'all, you've been walking with Jesus for years. You've read the Bible through several times, hopefully. And you just need to be stirred. You need to have yourself stirred up. So, go to Hosea 10, if you would. Verse 12. I'll let you turn there or punch buttons on your phone to get there or whatever you do. Y'all got it? Hosea 10, verse 12. Man, there's some incredible meetings. Tim Sheets was speaking on, and he was speaking things that we spoke several years ago, but he was speaking of the Third Great Awakening. He said it a lot of times, and I hadn't heard that anywhere else before, but we've talked about the Third Great Awakening in this Highway 150 corridor. It's coming, it's here, it's here, it's here, it's here. And it's good to hear somebody else has got a network of prophets and a network of thousands of churches that are praying for the same thing. I thought it was interesting because y'all been to Kansas City. He's got churches in this region, in Ohio, his state, and they take on, was it 7 days? They take on 7 days. Each church takes 7 days around the clock prayer. For 7 days, and they've got a torch. They've got a torch, and they go pass it to the next church that agrees to do it. So there, it's a different kind of thing. But for small churches, I think it's a wonderful kind of thing. So there's a lot of people believing for a great move of God, great outpouring of God. And he said, God is not through with the church yet. He said, and he prayed, no more delay, no more delay, no more delay, no more delay, no more delay. And everybody in the church got up, no more delay, no more delay. And you could feel the passion. It was like an army marching, an army beating a drum. No more delays in Jesus' name. No more delays in Charlotte, North Carolina. No more delays in Greenville, Indiana. No more delays on the Highway 150 corridor. No more delays in our own lives in Jesus' name. All the prophecies that have been spoken over you for years and years and years, you put them on the shelf, you put them on the shelf, you put them on the shelf. It's time to pull them down. It's time to pull them down and say, I am going there. It's time. I was made for a time such as this. God has honored me to birth me into a time such as this. Hosea. Sow for yourselves what? Righteousness. Reap in what? Mercy. Break up your fallow ground. For it is time to seek the Lord till he comes and he reigns righteousness on you. You have plowed what? Wickedness. You have reaped what? Iniquity. You have eaten the fruit of lies because you trusted in your own way in the multitude of your mighty men. So he said the solution for all that is to break up your fallow ground. What's that? It's like ground that's been sitting idle for years and years and years and years. And all of a sudden, Mike would know this better than me because he used to farm. I guess when you work a field every year, it gets softer and softer. I know they get a hard pan and all that, but I mean, it normally gets softer. It gets less weeds in it every year. But this fallow ground is like it needs a sharp plow to turn it over and make it whole and make it productive, right? So we need a sharp plow to penetrate our hard hearts. The sharp plow is the Word of God, penetrates our hearts. Landon, I'm so glad you're here, brother. You know what? I am so glad you're here, brother. I really am. God has a great call on your life. You know that? Totally serious. He really does. Not negating what anybody else has got here, but in Jesus' name, you'll see people come to the Lord. You'll see young people come to the Lord. You'll see them come in multitudes if you will just bow down and follow him step by step by step by step by step. Because if you run ahead of him, you get in huge trouble. You know, you get in huge trouble. If you'll just, and at your age, with your passion, it's hard to just take a step at a time. But, yeah, praise the Lord. So we're looking forward to what God has for you. Yes, indeed. And we've got some, Lord, we've got some incredible young people. I mean, incredible young people. I got to brag on them a minute. You take them somewhere, they're like, awesome. Really, y'all are awesome. Not everybody's in here. Samuel's up on the worship team now. He's awesome, awesome men and women of God. And the thing about it is they're not one way over here, and then when they get a chance to be in another place, they're not flip-flop. Really, they're the real deal. And when when we started working with youth a bunch of years ago, you know what? The church kids were horrible to work with. The heathen kids were awesome, but the church kids were like, I don't know, they just, y'all, in other words, parents, praise God, you have not raised them religiously. Praise God, they don't just think it's punching their clock, you know, to go, because I know they don't come unless they want to. Is that true? Y'all don't come to please me because I'm just an old man. You come because you love Jesus. You come, ho! So you can hike up mountains and try to keep up with me. Nah. That ain't true. So, you know, we need to turn over this fallow ground. I'm going to cut out most of what I got here. Thorns and weeds. That's the one I'm thinking of. Thorns and weeds. How many of y'all know the parable of the sower? You know it? Want to come up and tell us about it? The sower went out to sow. Some seed fell by the wayside. And what happened? The birds came and ate up. Some of it fell on what? Rocky soil. What happened? It popped up quickly, right? But then when dry times came, it withered away. Some fell among thorns. What happened there? It came up, but thorns and weeds and Johnson grass came up and choked it out and made it unfruitful. You ever seen your plants in a garden when you take real good care of your garden for about a month, maybe two. And then late summer you go somewhere for 2 or 3 days and you come home and it's like, oh, how could this happen? The enemy has been here and sowed seeds in my garden. It's like, and I see so many parables there. One of them is it's like so discouraging to see your beautiful plants surrounded by weeds and thorns. And some of them are so big, if you pull them out, what happens? You pull up the plant. So let them both grow together, and that's what I say. Let them both grow together till the harvest. But anyway, they will choke a plant out. They'll shade it. They'll take all the nutrients away from it. And it says that soil becomes unfruitful. And most people would say that's where most of the church is, unfruitful. Not y'all, but most of the church in America is unfruitful. What would be the fruit of a Christian life? Come on, there's no wrong answers. Being holy is a fruit of the Christian life. It says, Jesus said, or the Lord said, go, be fruitful, and multiply. Souls are definitely a fruit. Fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace. Long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. There's no law against those things, right? So that's some of the fruits of the Spirit. But thorns and weeds and other things come in and make it unfruitful. And sometimes we allow good things to come in and steal our harvest. I'm talking seemingly good things. You know, I got no problem with technology. It can save you a lot of work, but you know what? It can also consume you. You can be so consumed in wanting to know how or where or what or the weather or they're here or they're there or where are they at or when will I, you know, you're going down the road. Right? You used to be able to have a friendly argument with whoever was in the car with you, right? You could say, well, this is this, and this is this, and they go, no, it ain't. Yes, it is. No, it ain't. Yes, it is. No, it ain't. Now they just say, I'll Google it. It's like, what? What? And I've done it. Like, no, I'm right. I'm right. And you've got your little God there to answer all your questions, you know. No, y'all have done it. I've done it, okay? And it, you know, it can keep you from praying and asking the Holy Spirit things because you can just Google it. Now, I'm not being facetious. You can get to the point where it just sucks you in. How many of y'all have had to fast from that stuff some? I have, man. Need to. The battery dies. That's when you put it now when the battery dies. Well, that's wisdom. So we want cures for a hardened heart, don't we? Number one, you got to believe. You got to believe. You got to believe the Word of God you're holding there. You got to believe the Word of God. The Word is near you in your mouth and in your heart. That is the Word of faith which we preach, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture says, whoever believes on Him will not be what? Put to shame. Whoever believes on Jesus will not be put to shame. And you're just taking this in the realm of salvation, but it goes so much further than that. If you trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him and He will direct your paths. Praise the Lord. Resist the devil and he will flee you. Oh, no, that ain't what it says. That's just the last half of it. Submit. Submit yourself, therefore, to God. You've got to submit to God, man. If you don't submit to God, you can never resist the devil because you're going right along with him. You got to bow down. You got to submit. You got to ask Him what He wants you to do today. How many of y'all ask the Lord, where do you want me to eat lunch today? Or you just assume tumbleweed or something? Or I got over that a long time ago. What's that? Taco Bell? Well, yeah. But what do you know? If you put every decision in your life on Jesus, things would go so much better, you know? So much better. Come on, man, I'm taking you back to basic Christianity 101, right? I used to pray for parking spots, and I'd get them. And, you know, I'll start doing that again. And you know what? I get them. Should be more important now at 62 than 30. I probably should have been walking more then, but God honors you when you give Him a chance. Is that true? Divine appointments. We used to pray a prayer, and I'll never get it all. It was from Brownsville. It was John Kilpatrick, but it says, shoot, it was a page and a half. I cannot remember, but it said, I pray for divine appointments, open doors of opportunity, God-ordained encounters, ministry positions. And you should pray for that every day because every encounter with somebody in the world is a chance to shine for Jesus. It's a chance for Jesus to invade their life. How many of y'all been doing that more the past 5 years? Man, come on, man. You get chances to pray for people every day. Praise the Lord. You come here and you pray for people at Food Pantry, man. It just opens you wide open, man. Because it's like a candy box. You get a chance to pray for people and they want you to pray for them. This person's not here, so I can tell you. You wouldn't know them because they've never been here before. But at Food Pantry Wednesday, before it even opened, somebody come in the front door, which tells me they've never been here before. They would have come in that door. So he didn't even know there was a food pantry. He said, man, he said, I don't know if your church believes this or not, but I really need deliverance. I'm like, really? Really? And Janet and them held down the fort out here while Nina and I went and prayed for this young man for probably an hour. He needs a lot more, but He was supposed to be here today, but you know how that goes sometimes. So, God, I bless this young man that he'll get total freedom. Total freedom in Jesus' name, God. Lord, and I thank you, God, because there's people here that are very gifted in deliverance, you know, and it's not always fun. I'd rather lead people to the Lord and say, y'all can handle this deliverance, but we can all do it because it said those who believe will cast out devils. So, praise the Lord. So we believe, we repent, and that's why we did this before communion, you know. We repent. Revelation 2:4 says, Nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love. Your first love. I always remember that because Dick Rubin said, you have left your proto-agape. I thought it was cool. Your very first means first in intensity. It means all that. Number one in your life. You have left your first love. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, repent and do the first works, or else I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent. Of course, he was talking to a church, but how many of y'all know you are the church? You are the church. It's not Faith Harvest. It's the church. It's a body of believers. It's believers that are worshiping up and down this highway this morning. Praise God, there's a remnant, God. There's a remnant that's crying out to Jesus. There's a remnant that's believing for God to do the fullness of what he promised. There's a remnant believing for this last day outpouring. There's a remnant right now believing for signs and wonders and miracles. And where's your mom this morning? I sure wanted to hear her dream because you wouldn't tell me. Well, I think you ought to tell it and just take it away from her. You won't do it. It was incredible. It had to do with an explosion, right? Explosion of people and souls. And I know one part you told me, said the parking lot was so full you couldn't even, I mean, it kept flooding in and it was packed standing room and stuff, right? Nina hears the Lord. What? We all hear the Lord if we'll listen to him. But anyway. Yeah. And I'm leaving a bunch out. Lord, we pray. Lord, I pray. Lord, one way to wipe out unbelief and hardness of heart is to reform. If you remember, Martin Luther was a reformer. He didn't have the right, he didn't have the right scope about the Jewish people, okay? He dropped the ball there, but he brought back the original belief that you are saved by grace and not by works. You cannot work it up. You can't do enough good things for Jesus. Jesus accepts the Father looks at the blood on you and he sees nothing but purity. He sees the blood, the blood. Aren't you glad he don't see your past? Aren't you glad he don't dig up your past? Aren't you glad? And you know when your past is being brought up and tapped into, you know who it is. It's the enemy because it's under the blood and Jesus cannot lie. Jesus forgives you and casts it what? Into a sea of forgetfulness as far as east is from west. And who is the little girl that was, or the old lady that was in concentration camps? Corey Ten Boom said, and he puts a sign over it saying, no fishing allowed. So praise the Lord. Great reformer, Martin Luther. Like I say, he was a little anti-Semitic. He might have been a lot anti-Semitic. I don't know. But he got salvation right and got us on the road to Reformation. And then what happened? Azusa Street, Lord, the Pentecostal movement, the great outpouring, the healing revivals, all the things that started bringing the church back to, you're the same church as you were in the book of Acts. You're the same church. And as Tim was saying the other night, he said, God is releasing armies of angels. He said he's releasing mighty armies of angels. And he said, what happened at Pentecost? He said, angels came. He said, because angels come as ministers of light and fire. It was incredible. He said, so of course there's millions of Christians now, so he's going to release millions of angels to do his job. And he has no shortage in Jesus' name. Don't worry, he wasn't saying to worship angels. He wasn't asking to command angels, but he was telling you to believe that God will send angels. What he said, I send angels, they are ministering spirits for those who are what? Heirs of salvation. Are you an heir of salvation? Do you think they leave when you get saved? No. And probably everybody, you know, if you hadn't had angels, Mary, if Samuel hadn't had angels, that boy, yeah, I won't go no further. If I didn't have angels, all the crazy things I lived through, I would not be here. Now, you can say it's just coincidence, luck, and chance, but why did others not make it and I made it? God had a destiny. God had a purpose for you. That's the only reason you're here right now. You could have died in the womb. You could have been aborted. You could have had millions of other things happen to you. But God had a purpose and a plan, has a purpose and a plan for your life, and it's a good one. And angels beckon to what? Praise and worship. They respond to prayer, but above all, they respond to the Word of God. That's who gives them orders. They know the sound of the Word of God. They know the sound, and they spend. That's why we need to decree and proclaim things over the church that are biblical. Right? Oh, God, I need a new SUV, God, is what I really, really need. No, you need God to prosper you and give you what you need to move the kingdom of God. Give, and it shall be given to you. Press down, shake it. If you don't give it away, you know, he's not interested in how rich you are or how big your IRA is or whatever. Or is it IRS? No, that's pretty big all the time. Wow. Well, let's stand up. I don't know why I closed that. I want to make a decree. Let's stand up. Ah, it didn't go off. Thank you, Jesus. Restore the church to her original purpose and God's plan. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her that he might sanctify her. What's that? Set apart? Sanctify her and cleanse her with the washing of water by what? The Word. The Word washes. The Word makes clean. The Word gives you a new start, right? The Word of God. That he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. Charity, you are a beautiful bride. You are a beautiful bride. Every one of y'all's weddings I've been to, you were beautiful brides. In fact, I don't know that I've ever seen an ugly bride. I think they put a thick veil on when that happens, so you can't. I'm sorry. Wash me, Jesus. Wash me, Jesus. Donna was a beautiful bride. I'll never forget. Donna had this beautiful dress on with lace and all this. It was kind of looked like a little hippie girl, and she had her, you know, her long blonde hair, and she had daisies in her hair. It was, wow. 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 And she was standing against a big lummox and on a white tux with a bow tie. Remember in the cummerbund and all the stuff you used to do? And guess what I had on my cummerbund? A buck knife. I had to be rebellious right till the end. I wasn't saved then. Jesus. So I want us to prophesy some things. And Y'all, did y'all get extra hour sleep this morning? This morning was my prayer morning, my prayer 3 o'clock prayer watch. So it was a 4 o'clock, I guess. So I did get a little extra, but I wrote down, and I just wanted us, since we're a huge part of this Highway 150 corridor, I just wanted us to prophesy these things in case we don't get to, you know, in case you don't look at and you don't read it, okay? In October, I believe the Lord showed me it's crucial that we prophesy to the church to continue to wake up. Amen. So in Jesus' name, we prophesy to you, sleeping church. We prophesy to you, sleeping church. And I'm not talking, yes, I'm talking Faith Harvest, but I'm talking the church in this region. I'm talking about the church up and down this Highway 150 corridor, the Methodist Church, the Baptist Church, Episcopalian Church. God, get them all on fire for you. Everybody that calls the name of Jesus, fire them up, God. Fire them up, fire them up, fire them up, fire them up. From Mount Vernon, Kentucky to Quad Cities, Iowa, fire them up, 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 fire them up in Jesus' name. Fire them up in Jesus' name. Awake! Wake up! Come on, wake up! Say it. Wake up, sleeping church. Wake up! Wake up! Wake up! In Jesus' name, wake up, wake up, wake up, wake up, wake up, wake up. After that Supreme Court ruling, I saw the church come, boom, it came alive for about a week. But it was just enough. It says, well, that's the law. That's the way things are now. No, it's not God's law. It's not God's decree. God's decree is in the Word of God. You read what it says. We decree that the law of the United States be ruled by the Word of God. Can y'all agree with that? We decree that the laws of this country will be ordained by the Word of God. In Jesus' name. 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 The only ruling and decree we will receive is the one that comes from the throne room of heaven. Amen. In Jesus' name. I believe it's time to prophesy for the church to listen and hear the sounds of heaven. To hear the sounds of heaven. In your prayer time, you will hear clearly the doctrines of heaven. You will hear clearly what the Lord is showing you. You'll have dreams. You'll have visions. I believe God's releasing these things. He already has. Revival has already begun in Jesus' name. We prophesied ourselves, God, that we would hear what the Spirit says to the church. I prophesy, God, that we would hear what the Spirit says to us. I prophesy that I would understand what the Spirit of God speaks to the church. Y'all need understanding? Ask it. God, I prophesy I would understand what the Spirit of God says to the church. I understand it. I will understand it. I will understand it. God, I will be obedient to what you show me, God. I will not buck. I will not push away. I will not rebel against the Word of God. I will not rebel against the holy vision of God. I prophesy, we prophesy, that the army of God called the church comes out of fear. Lord, we pray. Come on, guys, fire up. I pray we will prophesy the church will come out of fear and come out of confusion. We are not confused. We have sound minds, and God will speak to us clearly because He loves us and He has a plan for us in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. We prophesy the followers of Jesus and the church, His glorious bride, will understand the will of God. We prophesy, come on, we prophesy a great flood of souls to come into the kingdom. To come into this church, to come into the church in this region, and especially to this Highway 150 corridor. We don't stop there. We don't stop there like Martin Luther does right now. We prophesy that every one of them will be filled and baptized with the Holy Spirit. We pray that they all will receive the gift of speaking in other tongues. We prophesy they will all lay hands on the sick and they will recover. We prophesy they will all cast out demons. They will all be mighty men and women of God, from the youngest to the oldest. Nobody excluded, God, in Jesus' name. Come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. Jesus, 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 Jesus. Let's covenant together, okay? Covenant means you're going to try to do this. No, covenant means that you will do this. And I love you, Charity. I love you, Michael. And that was a wonderful, beautiful wedding. I was so glad I got to take place in it. But they made covenant. And they made vows. And they had people speak blessings over their marriage. Let's covenant together that we will pray this month, okay? That don't set a time limit out, but that you will pray through the day. You'll pray every time this comes to your mind. And in Jesus' name, I proclaim it will come to our minds very frequently in Jesus' name. I proclaim that in Jesus' name. We will pray for revival. We will pray for the presence of God. We will pray for signs, wonders, and miracles to take place every time we gather together. Every time we gather together. And in our own time, we'll see mighty works of God. Every time we speak the word of God, we will see angels come and perform for your glory, God. We will not only speak this with our hearts, but we will believe it in our hearts. Y'all agree with that? We pray for revival. Say it. We pray for revival. We will pray for the presence of God. We will pray for signs, wonders, and miracles. Every time we come together, every time I speak the word of God, we won't just speak it with our mouth, we will believe it in our hearts. And one more thing, and I'll shut up. I believe the November Highway 150 corridor meeting, the one coming up, will be at our house this month, will be such a night of thanksgiving and testimonies and joy. Joy will overwhelm this meeting. Praises will flow like living water. There will be no jealousy for the praises either. They'll flow like living water, and every time one's given, laughter will break out. That's what I'm believing for. And everybody will have a praise and a testimony. And unity will overcome all the enemy's wiles. I believe if we'll agree and believe that the good report will drown out the report of the enemy. Lord, we thank you. We are excited to pray, march, and win every battle with you, Lord. Arise, 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 for your King is coming. In Jesus' name, God, we thank you. We thank you, Jesus, the King is coming. We thank you, Lord, the army is mobilizing. We thank you, Lord, for your promises. We decree and we declare revival. We decree and we declare souls, signs, wonders, and miracles. God, to be encouragement and to all the glory. You get all the glory, God. We will never be tempted to take any of your glory, God, in Jesus' name. We love you. We praise you, we bless you in the mighty, 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 mighty name of Jesus. We praise you. And like I say, don't let your heart be hardened. His word's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He has not forsaken you. Sometimes he just says, wait. Okay? Sometimes he just says, wait. It says, wait on the Lord, and he will renew your strength. So I just want to ask you right now, if you've got a condition, something you've done, gave up on a long, long time ago. I saw something on the 700 Club the other day. And this lady, it caught my ear immediately, because this lady, I guess 20 years ago, she was walking one day and she just fell down and lost all the feeling in one side of her body. And they did test and test and test and test, and they said, it's multiple sclerosis, MS. And that caught my eye, because that caught my ear, because I had, God delivered me from that incurable disease. I'd be like this now. You'd be wheeling Mark in a wheelchair. I mean, really, that's where it was headed. This lady was crippled. She went everywhere in a wheelchair. She went to church. She cried out to God. She got saved. She got delivered. And then she started getting interested in missions. So she prayed for missionaries. And finally, she had this opportunity to go to Africa. And she said, God, if you will just allow me to go to Africa, I will be so pleased and so thankful. So she got to go in her wheelchair, and they're pushing her through this, you know, out here in the jungle. And she went up to this little girl that was deaf. And she said, oh, God. And she's weeping. She said, oh, God, just please, please heal this little girl. Immediately, her ears were open, and God said, you are healed. She never had to get in that wheelchair again. All the lesions on her brain were gone, and they couldn't explain it, because she had been crippled for 20 years. Not saying that's the ideal way. I'm just saying, don't give up. Keep knocking. Don't, because sometimes we've been carrying something so long, you know, we go, you know, God's never, this, it's just impossible. Don't ever believe that. Don't ever believe that. God wants to renew you. He wants to renew your mind. And if you got some kind of issue right now that you've been knocking and knocking and knocking and knocking, physical, mental, spiritual, whatever it might be, God wants to deliver you. And if you don't believe that, you got a hard heart. And I'm not throwing stones at you. I'm just saying, don't allow your heart to be hardened. Oh, it reminds me of Petra. Don't let your heart be hardened. I can't remember the rest, but it was such a good song. Lord, bless them and keep them, God. Lord, let your spirit hover over them, Father. Thank you, God, that you open doors that no man can close. Bless them with favor. Favor with man, favor with government, God. Favor everywhere they go, God, in Jesus' name, God. And let people look and go, oh, they're so blessed. Why? And God, you've given us the answer, Jesus. God, bless them with divine health. Bless their finances, God. Multiply everything they give into the kingdom 10,000-fold, God, for your name's sake, God. We love you. We bless you, God. Lord, we plan to have a whole bag full of testimonies this week, God, because you are good. Give us souls this week, Jesus. Let everybody in here lead somebody to the Lord this week in Jesus' name. And if you need prayer for something you've given up on, God hasn't given up on you. Praise the Lord.